My, have we gotten fancy over the years. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father God, what can we say? You've given so much. You've provided so much. You've led us. You've brought our pastor here. You've given us a man that's committed, unswerving commitment to his commission to leave this flock. And we thank you for it. We thank you for every soul who's here. And Father, we're grateful for those brethren who are no longer among us. They're with you. We remember it all. And Father, we ask that you would just continue to bless this time. Bless these words. So Father, put these, I pray personally as you put these words, that I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say now. Have them hit the target, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, there is a certain thing about me that hasn't changed. And I need to get my hanky out right now. I used to sweat when I took standardized tests. So I sweat when I think hard. You can imagine how I'm feeling right now, okay? That'll be time for that. If I do that now, then it'll be, you know, I won't have no, okay? I called Pastor earlier in the week to find out how much time, when the format, and how much time I'd have, and he gave me the time parameters. And at that time, I was under the mistaken assumption that I'd be speaking before the meal. And I shared with him that given the extent of the sentiment that has filled me at that time, and that fills me even more now, I said, I'll try to adopt the axiom that you never stand in the way of food. And so I'm glad that we already ate. So what? When's bedtime? No. In Psalm 30, verses 1 through 4, the occasion is the dedication of the house of David. It reads, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. So there's going to be a theme here. Joshua 1:13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God have given you rest and have given you this land. Numbers 15:40, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Remember. In some ways, what I'm about to share actually began the last time I stood before you. And see, when you say stuff like that, the emotion kicks in. Oh. And I remember standing out there, and I imagine I'd be in there, and so I was sort of preparing myself to keep myself calm, and then I'm in here where it all started for me. Anniversaries are for remembering. And so I took out my little vines, and the Vines dictionary says, remember is to remind oneself of something, to be mindful. Keep it right here. You notice in those verses I shared, who's at the center? God. 148 plus mentions of the word remember. Sometimes God speaking, sometimes it's other folks speaking. But always the focus is God. And I remember being in classes here and hearing how, especially when we were studying Leviticus and things like that, the, you know, what I considered the imbecilic, you know, maniacal forgetfulness of the Jews. How could they be so stupid, you know? You take me through the Red Sea, and I can get there, and I don't know, God did it, I'm good. You want to give me manna, I'm there, okay? But God has told us we need to remember, because we be dumb people. We forget. First time I walked through those doors, and I'm going to ask you guys to indulge me. This is an intensely personal experience for me. When I thought about coming to speak, all I thought about my time here. I remember the first time I walked through those doors, somebody that whose name I won't mention, but whose personality won't be forgotten, walked up to me and she said, "Well, you knew?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Are you hunting? Are you hunting?" And I said, as a matter of fact, I am sort of checking out churches. I'm thinking about moving here. And after that, I had a wonderful lunch with the Boutresses, who I had fellowship with back at Middletown Bible Church. And I knew that the Lord was leading me here. So these are going to be kind of my remembrances that tie into this. And then there was this sermon. It's time to build. Jesus said, just set this up. Then Jesus saith unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net out to the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. You say, "Well, what does that have to do with remembering?" I was one of these guys who, he knows, I am not handy. She knows even more. And I thought, oh, it was relatively new. I think we came in 91, so this would have, when did we start this? In 96, 97, in there somewhere?
2001.
That's what I said. And still, I just didn't understand how to, because when we came in, we were just finishing the bathrooms. And I didn't know, we're going to build, okay. And we're going to do it internally? We're going to finance it internally? Because we did not want to be beholden to any entity outside of our church. Okay? There's a theme here under the remember. Okay. Building materials appeared. We had an amazing string of good weather. Many laborers, many people watching laborers. I'm not going to digress too much, but I'm recalling a moment, and it's captured, I think, Mike Vetter captured it on a photograph of me. You know, I was done. I was part of that whole finance kind of side of it, and when that was done, well, let me be clear, I was not the financier. I was just part of that committee that was involved in that, and so once that was done, I had nothing to do. You know, and Bob and our contractors and Dennis, they had these plans and they had stuff coming in, and I wanted to just be involved. And so I went out and went to Sears and bought a little leather tool kit and some jeans. And I asked Bob, you remember, I said, "What do I need?" And he says, "Oh, just a, you know, what? Oh, just, you know, just, you know, hammer." The ruler, and I know he was just being kind because he knew that I didn't know what I was talking about. I went to Sears, got it, and came in, and I said, I want to do something. And Steve Boutrous was cutting planks, okay? And I said, I can do that too. Chop saw. Never used it before, Dennis. And I went there and, you know, measure once, measure twice, cut once. I still don't have it figured out, right? Measure twice, cut once. Bob was up in the rafters. He was probably up on the actually, if you orient yourself to the back of the sanctuary, sort of up toward where the pastor blasters are. I remember the fans for pastor, right? That send on the pulpit. Up there, way up there, there's Bob. Dennis is giving me the instructions, and he's giving me one plaintiff, one at a time. It was boring after legs. So then I said, I can do two at a time. I can be very productive. And I did three at a time. And I said, well, I got to measure twice. So I put my little ruler, my little tape measure out there, measured it, and I had this whole system. And then before I know it, cut the tape, the thing went inside, and I'm standing there like this with the part of the tape that fell out in the container like this. And Mike Vedder, Johnny on the spot, went click. Not a very prideful day for me. Okay. There were dreams. I'm going to embarrass somebody right now. I may embarrass a few people. Just on the other side of the wall here, we had the inside all framed. And I was talking to that man. And he was looking up toward where the pulpit is. And he said, one day, my girls are going to be married there. And I remember thinking, wow, so much we're family. So much. And to know and to have the dream that something you're part of, something that God is building here, could be enjoyed and placed into the next generation. And I remember my kids were still kind of young, and I thought, wow. And guess what happened? And their little ones are running around here somewhere. Not so little anymore. An incredible result. 1 Chronicles 16:12. Remember his marvelous works that he have done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Our God is a great God. He's a faithful God. We can count on him. A couple of other memories. Some of you will remember this, and we're going to go down memory lane. Things that just endear me to Salem Bible. Remember the caroling? Remember getting up and we're thinking, it was never whether we would do it or not. It's always whether we would be warm enough to do it. And went around the neighborhood. And we caroled. I'll talk a little bit about it now. That was a ministry, guys. Here is this little funny looking church. I remember my boss was in I was dropped off here from Boston from a trip, and my boss was in a car with me. And it was, we didn't have the new church yet. And she said, this is your church? She knew that I was not going to miss church. And so we changed. I didn't make her do anything. I just said, I kind of got to go stop in Salem. Is that okay that the car drops me off? The caroling was a ministry. I remember another ministry. And here's where you, Sarah, ladies' banquet. It was a joy to serve. Talk about an opportunity to push ministry, internal and external. Ladies came from all over. Our ladies, wonderful hosts. By the way, all those pictures, a lot of food. We like to eat. We eat well, don't we? Okay, we have some incredible cooks, and the food. isn't about the food. I want to be kidding, but I like the food. But it wasn't about the food. This was about the ministry. And we had ladies, we invited ladies, we had incredible speakers. And all of that was led by you. Thank you. That was great. I had the privilege of, we men had the privilege of serving. We dressed up in our tucked in our ties and fancy cummerbunds, thank you. And we tried to make that event look as special for our ladies, both the ladies, our ladies, and the ladies that we were hosting. And we got to eat the food upstairs, too, which is kind of cool. And the cleanup was great. Ministry internal. We all worked together. Missionary trips. First time I met Danielle was their kids. Their daughter was on a missionary trip that Dean Mangum was leading. And I thought, what a church. We not only send people out, it's easy to write a check. It's a whole other thing when you put skin in the game. We gave our children an opportunity to minister. Okay? I think, Tracy, you were on some of those trips, too. I think that another aforementioned reference of a certain couple whose the male of the couple happens to be the pastor of a church a little south of us. I got to see all that happen at a missionary thing. It was great. And you know something? What I loved about it, I'm joking a little bit. What I loved about it, it was a godly courtship. It was good to see. I have to thank Scott and Ruth Ann again for something else we did here. We actually endeavored to memorize the book of Colossians. Remember that? I did okay. What was most important was that I was encouraged to do it. And we got the support. That was something that was available to all of us. Commercial. When you have an opportunity to dive into the word like that, don't be scared. Do it. I can't tell you how those verses pop in my head now. Without even things happen, and it's like it's the application. That's the thing. Being in, since I left here, I've been in two really good churches, and I have to laugh. Every now and then, they'll break out Colossians, and I'm sitting there going, thank you. Ministry. And we talked about the Nelsons were referenced. That was such a sweet letter, wasn't it, from Nancy and Al. Home Bible studies. I have to tell you, we don't play church here. It's a sweet fellowship. We care. And so I think about the Gallows who's hosted some of those, and the Velezes and the Nelsons and others that I'm sure I'm missing. It's the spirit of it that I want to emphasize, that we happen to be part of a fellowship where we really believe in the Bible, and we are committed to each other's growth. I keep saying sweet fellowships. I need to come back to sweet and food. Sunday nights after celebration of the Lord's table. That was a special time for me. It wasn't about the goodies. It was about the juxtaposition of the celebration we did before that. And then an opportunity to get together. I'm going to say this, and you guys might be a little, you might be a little skeptical. I'm putting fishing trips into this memory. I'm going to tell you why. Because it started as a father and son. Correct me if I'm wrong, those who were before me. It started as a father and son outing. It was a time for dads to be together with their sons, with other Christians. And it's so important in this world, as we know, that young men be with other older men, godly men. That's how that started, right?
And daughters.
I'm about to get there. It grew to fathers, sons, and daughters. That was great. And I'm going to tell you something, and you had to be there, but those of you who weren't there, I'm telling you, we experienced something that was as close to a, well, every day God shows us his majesty, right? But this was a good one. So we're fishing on this boat, okay? Well, we're not catching, but we're fishing. And it's kind of slow. I need to give you some context. We had an opportunity to charter a boat, a private charter, so none of all these cussing, liquor-drinking people on the boat. It was just us, okay? And the format was fellowship, fish, devotional. Who does a devotional on a fishing trip? We do. That's how we do fishing, okay? Devotional. And this particular day, I'm with family, I got to be honest. It was getting kind of late. We kind of went long in the first half of this with the fishing. Hadn't caught much. Now it's a devotional, and I got to be, you know, focused. And I didn't care how long it went because I was committed to that, but I knew that we're going to run out of time before we get some more fishing done. And devotion was over. There was a little anxiety about, okay, are we going to have enough time to catch fish? And the Lord just showed us, gave us this, a pod of humpback whales came, and they began to feed. And it was wonderful for the kids to see humpback whales feeding in, and it's God's creation. Of course, we, you know, told the kids, this is what this is all about. And then, like the verse I want to be clear. It wasn't like the fish that Peter and Andrew caught, okay, in terms of volume. But it may as well could have been, because it was an incredible catch. I don't know. I believe, honestly, that God honors us, you know, blesses us when we honor him. And I'm confident that was a treat that he just customized. He knew where the humpback whales were. That was just an incredible moment. And then there's the testimony to the captain. So you all think, I'm saying you all think, one might think that the fishing trip was an outing only. Funny thing happened. This captain, the owner of the fleet, every year seemed to give us a better deal in a bigger boat. Not only that, he got to hear devotion every time. The gospel, every time. And it was one moment, I remember being up at the cap, you know, we were getting ready for that. He says, you're all going to do your devotion night right now. Well, I want to make sure everything is set and quiet. And I'm thinking, all right. I don't know if he's saved, but I'm convinced that was a step in a journey that could lead to his salvation.
The whole crew.
The whole crew, that's right, the whole crew. And so you might wonder why I haven't mentioned how I spent the good chunk of my service here. And that is with the choir ministry. So, about right there, where Pastor's sitting, was Mrs. Rossi. And John Skinner, who is an outstanding music director, he and Paula really blessed us. Set us in a nice foundation for music, and they had an opportunity to do something else. Lord led them somewhere else, and so at that time I was leading in evening service song, just hymns, as some of you will remember. And Mrs. Rossi did this. She was sitting there, and she said, "Yeah, Mrs. Rossi. Come here. I'm praying that you be the choir director." Please don't pray that, Mrs. Rossi. And that's my words. I mean, she would say it every time. And then what I didn't realize was that God was preparing my heart for that. Because what you don't know is that for all those years, the choir knows this. I don't know what I'm doing. I love music and I love the Lord. And anything, that if it was a blessing to you all, it was because the choir blessed me. And Vivian will tell you, I would get tapes because I don't read music very well. And because we're a church, you get CDs or tapes back then. Remember the cassettes? And I would listen to the cassettes and I would read music because I can read, right? So I could at least follow it. And I would be prepared. But then I had people like, where is he? That guy. And Nadine. And you. Oh, yeah. People who either knew music, knew the importance of the music ministry. So you should know, oh, and I can't, you see, this is what happens when you start pointing people out, because Ruth Ann was part of that too. Okay? People who know music and love the Lord, who could be counselors to me. And by the way, we have pastor in the choir. So, okay? But anything that happened in that choir, and they can tell you every cantata, every situation, you know, it was people who were just regular people just trying to serve. No more, no less. And I'm looking at my dear friend Amal over there, who had to contend with my crazy gyrations and changes of thoughts, and I just want to thank you for that, because her dedication, again, ministry, okay, dedication, faithfulness. And so, Salem Bible Church, 40 years and counting. We got a website. It's a slick website. I don't mean that slick the way the mirror. I'm talking, it's really nice. Remember the first website? It was nice, but I like this one. Okay? Very informative. And in a world when people look at websites to judge you even more and more, you can't miss what we're all about. Okay? When we moved, each time we moved, we looked at websites. Okay? And that was a good first step. You got to visit because anybody can write stuff. But what's on our website? Notice I said our website. Because I'm home, all right? What's on our website is solid. Rock solid. So in case you haven't checked it out, I'm going to share some things that reinforce and kind of tell who was Pastor said a little while ago. You know, the Lord's led us this far. And he's confident, as I am, I'm sure all of you, that he will do for the next 40 years. Actually, I don't want 40 more years. Take me, God. Take me. Salem Bible Church is a church that is all about worship, and that worship is God-centered. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You walk into Salem Bible Church, we don't matter. He matters. What we do in there, what we do in here, what we do upstairs, and every time we open God's Word, it's him. That's a distinctive. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Give unto the Lord glory. I'm sorry. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You get a taste of holiness here. We open the word, and our pastor, when he's sharing from God's word and he's talking about God, it's like if you can take an arrow and point it straight up. Okay? That's the focus. You can't miss it. Salem Bible Church is a church whose music is conservative, worshipful, and Bible-based. Psalm 33:3 reads, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp." I wanted my daughter to play harp, but she never did here. "Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise." Although I characterized the choir as being sort of regular people, our goal was to take that work very seriously and to do it as skillfully as we could. "For the Lord, word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Psalm 33:3. Salem Bible Church is a church that faithfully and diligently preaches the word of God and is doctrinally sound. We learn in 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Now, let me give you an example. See, we take this kind of for granted. So I'm going to read to you a doctrinal statement of another place. 5 points. 1, God is absolute good, everywhere present. We can't argue with that. That's okay, right? Omnipotent. My essence is of God, and therefore I am inherently good. Ooh. 3, I create my experiences by the activity of my thinking. Everything in the manifest realm has its beginning in thought. Prayer is, if it wasn't so sad, I mean, it's funny, but it's very sad. Prayer is creative thinking that heightens the connection with God mind and therefore brings forth wisdom, health, prosperity, and everything good. That's not what I read about prayer. Is that what you read about prayer? Knowing and understanding the laws of life also... This is the blasphemous. Point 5 is truly blasphemous. All of it is, but this knowing and understanding the laws of life, also called truth, are just the beginning. I must also live the truth I know. That's what the world is. Oops. That's what the world is embracing. And you know, it ain't new. We've been learning about that throughout history through our teaching, right here. It ain't new. It's just Satan's busy. I have a couple more. I'm okay. SBC, Salem Bible Church, is a church that promotes the function and responsibility of ministry, caring for each other, and for the testimony of the church and community. I've kind of hit on this, but with caroling and the things we've done, both in, you know, with the fishing and everything. If you're here and you're not, and I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Yes, I do, in a way. It's our responsibility to help each other. It's our responsibility to care for each other. That shouldn't be hard. It's our responsibility to be close enough to God to understand the gifts he's given us and be ready and willing to apply them as needed. What we have here didn't just happen because a few people decided they would do this. What happened here is that the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit worked in the hearts and minds of brethren who were willing to say, "Yes, I'll go where you want me to go. I obey." And if you're a believer, that should be your posture. Now I'm going to pick on somebody else. My big sister back there, Marie Contarina. One day she came up, and when the MS was starting to cause her to feel a little bit more unstable, she came to me, she says, "I think I need to step down from the choir." And I said, "Why?" And she says, "Because I'm an embarrassment, because people have to help me up." And I said, "Help you to help us? When the Lord tells you to stop, when you can't see, that's when you can go. Until then, report to duty. Or something like that. Our church promotes the function and responsibility of ministry. We care for each other. Hebrews 10:24 through 25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. You know, there's a story of a man who, I heard this the other day in church, who had been witnessed. Actually, it's in the Bible. we're studying Paul's, in Acts, Paul's the trial with Agrippa and Festus and those guys. And there's a moment, if you go into Acts, where Festus says, "You almost had me." Remember that? "You almost had me. I almost believed." Well, you know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And as believers, the Lord would call us home. We go before the, you know, Him, and He asks us, you know, kind of has everything we've done. We can't say we were scared, made us nervous. I didn't think I could do it. He's given us a commandment. He wants to know that we've done, he wants to be able to, and like Paul said, we want to be able to say, have him say, "Well done, thou faithful servant." The last, most recent memory that I had here was about a month ago. And we're sitting in service, and Pastor was teaching on the importance of us taking a stand in a world that has gone mad, absolutely mad. We don't know. Well, now I'm going to put, can I do the they thing? They don't know the difference between a male and a female. They don't know the difference between right and wrong, up and down. They can lie with impunity. Because they know that the world, most of the folks in the world, aren't paying attention. And if we think that all this that we have here is guaranteed, so I'm here to tell you, not necessarily so. Okay? We will continue to pray and do our part, but there's nothing to stop a government, and we've seen it already in some instances. And I'm not waxing political. I'm trying to wax biblical here, okay? We know that Satan's busy. And we need to be attentive, alert. And I love, well, let me read the verse. Ephesians 6. You guys all know it. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Stand. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand." Stand and withstand. My ears perked up when you said that, Pastor. Because you can stand, but you need to be ready to withstand. And you can't do this. None of us can do this on our own. We need Christ to do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the battle's already won. So our attitude, our posture should be straight. Okay, and we've got a whole heritage of believers in the Old Testament and New Testament who did that. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Some of us, and some of us already, believers, are already being persecuted and killed. So what? I don't mean so what, we love them. What I'm saying is that we have an eternity that's, you know, this is just a blimp. We were at our table talking about, where did 40 years go? If you're young people, I know how you feel. You're saying, yes, these old people talk about 40 years. They're old. I was there. We were all there. There was a time when we couldn't imagine when we were in our 20s. Who's thinking about 30? In our 40s, who's thinking about 30? Boy, then all of a sudden someone said to me once, recently, you know, boy, Harold, you know, you look good for 65. And I go, my knees know exactly how old I am. All of this doesn't happen unless that man gets saved. Think about that. Think about that. I was thinking about that this weekend, earlier this weekend. Pastor doesn't get saved, a lot of stuff doesn't happen. He doesn't meet this lady, but God doesn't give him a perfect helpmeet. The core of who we are doesn't exist. Okay? And that little band of believers that decided that it was time to start a church here in Salem, that was the nugget. And we know what God can do with a mustard seed. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Sarah. I have grown immensely under your leadership and love. And I know I speak for everybody here. And so my note says, just say thank you and sit down. Thank you so much. It's been a privilege to come home to be. Somebody said, welcome, welcome. I said, welcome. I thought I lived here. It's just a real joy. Vivian can tell you I've been giddy since the first call. Couldn't wait to get here. Kind of in a strange way, happy I got to come here twice. But thank you all for loving us, for your testimony, for your faithfulness, you stole my line when you said, you know, I've been here for 25 years and I hope some of you still like me. I was sitting over there saying, man, I was going to say something like that. Anyway, thank you all. It's been a privilege and a pleasure. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much for who you are. This is your church. You have risen this body up. You have blessed us beyond all measure and beyond all imagination, and we thank you. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless this church, bless each one, cause us to see and understand our commission and duty that you've given us, Father, to share the gospel and not be afraid. Give us the courage, Father, to do that and to stand not only for this generation, but for our children, that we would be a testimony to them, that they would know what standing is, because there are perilous times, Father, coming. And Father, we pray also for that you would raise up a man to pick up the baton and run the race that has been so wonderfully ran by our pastor. And for the message tomorrow, we pray that people would come with hearts ready to receive the word. We pray that once we receive it, that we'd be ready to act upon it. And Father, not in our own might, but according to your will and in your strength, led by you, even our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.